Welcome to Conversations on Discipleship. This is your host, Father Adam Streitenberger. With me today again is Adora Namigade. Welcome again, Adora.
Thank you.
We're going to continue our conversation, but first let's begin with a prayer in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Lord God, help us this day to know and to understand your will for us, that we might embrace this same will and be faithful to you in even the little things of this day. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
So, Adora, the last time we were talking, you mentioned the Toltonites, which is a group that you're involved with. I think you're also involved in the founding of it. Is that right?
Yeah, technically.
So could you tell us about the Toltonites?
Yeah, absolutely. So how did this start? One day I went to Mass at Holy Rosary St. John. This was last year in the winter. And I saw two African-American men who were my age. Now, you have to note, only 2% of the Catholic Church in this country is African-American. Super rare, okay, to see not one but two African-American men who were my age. I was freaking out internally. I'm so extroverted. I was like, I have to meet these people. So we all kind of gave each other the eyes. And after Mass, we got together and talked. And they were like, hey, we work in this diocesan office called Ethnic Ministries. I was like, oh, that's really great. And then they both gave me their business cards, which had their numbers. That's important for later because that same day in the evening, I went to Mass again at a different church because a friend of mine who's part of Syro-Malabar Rite said, hey, this priest is coming to celebrate Syro-Malabar Mass. This is a huge deal. Very rare that it happens. All the Indians are going to be there in town. Like, you should come for the cultural experience. So I was like, great, let me go. Brought this agnostic guy with me, and we went to this Mass, and I saw those two men again whom I had met earlier that day at Mass. So we were like, this is very strange that we all went to Mass twice in the same day at different churches. That's kind of a weird coincidence. So after Mass, we started talking again, and we got into this conversation about the Second Vatican Council and how it like changed the culture. What did we like about it? What did we not like? How is it still coming to pass? All this stuff. So it was a pretty long conversation. So I said, look, guys, I have your phone numbers from earlier today. Let me call you later, and we can have dinner at my apartment. And they were like, great. So the agnostic guy is like, oh, can I come too? It was really interesting hearing you guys talk about this church council. I was like, great, you can come. The person who invited me to Syro-Malabar Mass, Andrew, said, hey, I want to come to this dinner. Great, you can come. He and I have a mutual friend who's African-American who is exploring Catholicism, but unfortunately, like, her race is a huge barrier to feeling welcome in the church. So we were like, let's invite her. So this ends up being a dinner with, like, seven people at my apartment. They all don't really know each other. So I just said, hey, guys, like, we're all here because we're people of color and we're Catholic. That's really the only connection. Or we're not Catholic, but we've expressed interest. So let's just start talking. And people just got super deep really fast. They ended up staying over till midnight talking about their experiences of Catholicism, their experiences of being minorities in the church, and especially a feeling like they didn't really have people they could talk to about certain experiences because they were the only ones in their circles who had them. You know, that was the main thing. So at the end of the night, everyone just sat still and looked at each other and said, we got to do this again. Like, I didn't know you before today, but now you're my friend, and we have to do this again. So they all exchanged phone numbers. They created a group chat. Someone said, let's call the chat the Toltonites. Okay, who's Father Augustus Tolton? We don't know. Now I'm learning more about him. But so we named it after the first African-American priest, Venerable Father Augustus Tolton. And they said, okay, we're going to share testimonies together, like March 25th at this bar. And that is how the group came to be.
Beautiful. Beautiful. This is Conversations on Discipleship. I'm your host, Father Adam Streitenberger, and with me is Adora Namigade. Adora, we've been talking about the Toltonites, this group that you're a part of and formed. Could you tell us a little bit about Augustus Tolton?
Yeah, absolutely. So he was the first African-American priest, and racism definitely weaves throughout his story all along the way. He had a vocation to the priesthood, but he applied to every single seminary in this country, and they rejected him because he was black. And so he ended up going to seminary in Rome. A priest who was his friend helped him raise money over several years working in a factory to go to Rome. and do seminary there. So after he did seminary training there, the cardinals thought, okay, he should go to Africa because he's black. But then one of them, I don't know who, said, hey, you know what? Maybe we should send him back to the United States because they don't have anyone of his demographic who is a priest. So he came back to this country, he served in Chicago, and he ended up forming one of the first multicultural parishes in America. And he just died serving the Lord, hustling. He died in his 40s.
Beautiful, beautiful. So how often do the Toltonites meet?
So it's interesting to ask that pre-quarantine versus post-quarantine. So pre-quarantine, we met like 3 times a month. So we would have events that were like purposely spiritually focused. So for example, one night we had a dinner where everyone had to pick a saint who was a minority, who was a person of color, and give like a small presentation on that saint, okay, just to raise awareness of like, hey, there are people who look like us who are saints. That's great. Sometimes people would just get together and chill, you know, let's just hang out, like let's just be friends. So we do different things like that. But that was pre-quarantine. And then post-quarantine, a lot of our activity has moved to Zoom. But now that things are opening back up again, we are able to get back together in person. So like this Saturday, we're going to have a prayer vigil regarding the racial crisis in the country right now. But we had a Zoom Easter retreat, for example, where we invited different speakers to talk about the prompt, how to be an Easter people when you're stuck inside during quarantine.
Mm-hmm.
So half of our group, well, not necessarily half. I don't have the exact stats. Let me not get roasted by people listening. But there is a significant population of people in our group who are not yet Catholic. So we have, like, at least 50% of people are Catholic. But there's a large number of people who are just interested in Catholicism. They didn't feel comfortable because they didn't have people they felt comfortable with to look at it with. And now they're able to explore it. So we're definitely also working on catechizing those people. A lot of them are already Christian.
So the meetings will normally be maybe a talk or some study group and then some prayer.
Right.
Excellent.
And then some dinner because, hey, every brown and black culture loves to eat a good meal. So we get together.
Well,
we
I think I would add every culture, I think, likes a good meal. So
we'll take it.
It is primarily young adults, too.
Exactly. Yeah, all young adults, some med students. Someone just became a doctor. Good for him. Young professionals, a couple of people who are in college. Yeah.
And where do you see the group going or evolving towards?
Ooh, I really hope that we can evangelize so many people to the faith in this city who would otherwise not look at it, because there is an assumption, unfortunately, that the Catholic Church is like a white institution. A lot of people just have that feeling, and so they would not look at the church as a place that they could personally call home. But hopefully we can help show people that this is the ultimate home to belong to, in fact.
Now, I think this we can begin to kind of evolve into an issue I really wanted to talk to you about, kind of get your spin and your understanding on, is the Black Catholic experience. To begin with maybe your own experience as an African-American. Now, Namika Day is of what ethnic origin?
Yeah, so my name is Ugandan, and today is actually Uganda Martyrs Day.
Yeah,
so
hey.
So that's very, very convenient. But, yeah, so my experience might be different than some people's who have, like, a slave history in their background, right? My parents were born and raised in Uganda. They have a large Catholic population. They both grew up in Catholic families. They met each other in the United States. Now, that said, I know that they were both, like, pretty culturally Catholic and actually ended up growing more personally into their faith over time as they had kids and as they were married, which was great. But, yeah, so my experience with it as a black person in America, too, because I was born here, so I'm kind of in both worlds, but I'm also not fully either, you know, like I'm African, but I'm American. I'm American, but my parents are immigrants, so I'm African, you know? So I definitely had that strong cultural tie to Catholicism because of being Ugandan, so I think that was huge. And I know that for a lot of African Americans, that can be a struggle of, like, where do I see myself being tied in? But then also, yeah, I did feel a loneliness, honestly, because there's just not a lot of black Catholics. I'm very used now, fortunately, I'm deep enough in my walk with the Lord where that's not going to be a deterrent to me in terms of going to Mass and stuff. But I definitely am aware of the fact that I'm the only Black person in that space normally.
Do you and now I from my conversations with other people, I kind of know I have an answer in my head, so I'm going to see what your thoughts are on this.
You have to tell me what your answer
yeah,
is.
Yeah, yeah. So the difference between, say, the descendants of African immigrants versus the descendants of slaves, African slaves.
Right.
Do you see a cultural difference then?
There absolutely is. So I think, first of all, if your parents are immigrants, right? They came from a particular country, and they know what country that is. And so they're able to pass down that particular culture to mm-hmm. you, right? So my parents passed down Ugandan culture. They passed down Ugandan food, Ugandan language, things like that. Versus if you're African-American, I know from speaking with my like African-American friends who have a slave ancestry, there is a particular pain of not knowing where you're from and never being able to know where you're from. So, like, you really have no home on earth. No place really claims you. They don't feel claimed by America. They feel looked down upon by America. But also, their history is so far removed from the African continent that they don't feel a home there either. And so there's really a painful, painful, painful lack of belonging.
We're going to continue this discussion, but let's end with a prayer in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, help us to grow closer to you through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. This has been Conversations on Discipleship. I'm your host, Father Adam Streitenberger. With me today has been Adora Namika Day. And until next time, peace and all good.